to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia, episode 201.
201. That's weird. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit. I just realized I did not have this in front of me.
Don't think about it.
Bicycling, trains, and transit. That's all. And today, riding in the friggin' rain.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, and simpler living, if you're into it.
God, it's supposed to be like our main theme.
Oh, you know, it's like the simpleness revolves around all the modes of transport.
This is true.
Which sometimes gets lost in the conversations because we end up talking a lot about bicycles, and sometimes those conversations can be complex.
This is true.
So, it happens.
I think I'm distracted because I made this table right here.
You did make a table. It looks very nice.
Yeah. It was meant to set the recorder on top of.
It was.
The recorder's in the middle of the room.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, but this backup recorder that we're using,
yeah,
it's plugged in with a cable.
And it can't reach that.
Oh, it could.
Well,
I tell you what.
Use it
right now.
Hang on.
Check this out.
Oh, I feel so much better now.
There we go. The auxiliary recorder is in the middle of the room.
So, yeah. to give you listeners a bit of context, we've spent the last, 20 minutes.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. Okay.
Well, 20 plus, because we got here at 6-ish. And have been working on this. We never set the studio back up, listeners.
That's right. Yeah, no, it just happened. And Tom McTighe, who is in the room with us. Hello, Tom.
Super good to be here.
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for waiting. It's good to have you in, and it's nice that you're pardoning our dust. So
I'm a good waiter.
We got some kombucha, which you are drinking.
Some Lionheart kombucha. Yeah. How is your impression of that, Tom?
Mine's good. I think maybe some of my ginger is at the bottom, though.
There you go.
I inverted mine, but honestly, like, the ginger's not, maybe I'm,
it's
like,
kind of
desensitized
a boozy,
to it.
It's a boozy.
It really is.
It's a boozy kombucha. Yeah.
It really is. Like, I thought Townsend's had, like, that, had a really strong alcohol taste, but this one tops it. I don't know. I know they're, like, batch made.
Yeah.
Or they're made in batches, so this may be just...
I might have hit my limit.
...an extra strong batch.
There we go. Okay. Well, we don't want you wobbling out of here uncontrollably consumed by kombucha.
Yeah,
so,
especially on a night like tonight.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, you're from Puddle Cycle, and you represent Cranksgiving, so we're going to talk about those in just a few minutes. And I just opened a bottle of Rise and Grind Ale.
So it's, it has rye in it?
It's a No Lie Brew House from Spokane, or as they say in Missouri, Spokane. It's the No Lie Brewing Company, and it is ale brewed with coffee, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, that's your thing. Right?
Yeah. And I feel like I could use a pick-me-up because this is the first day, and we were saying we have the Puddle Cycle guy in on the day that it actually starts to rain in earnest for, not the first time, it happened like last week too, I think.
But I mean, this is the first rainy day. We've had days with rain, but
yeah.
I would say this is the first rainy day of the season.
Yeah, and so my seasonal affective is, I don't think I have it. I think I just,
I'm pretty,
like,
sure I do.
I think I'm just kind of bummed whenever the rain shows up. Tom is not as much.
I'm walking on sunshine over here.
you got
so
the opposite.
Happy.
You're walking on sunshine,
yes,
so to speak.
My own private sunshine.
I'm also double fisting, by the way.
And starting to feel good. Oh, yes. And you've got coffee. Nice. All right. Well, Aaron, since last, I guess we should just mention that we've had the 200th episode. If you hadn't heard, there's a thing.
Yeah.
Big ups to Mr. Parecki, who put out the video. We now have a video with audio.
Ran into him today.
Yeah.
He asked me what I thought of the video, and unfortunately, I didn't see the video yet, so I wasn't able to tell him what I thought.
You've
of
got
it.
Time.
But I told him what I thought of him for putting the video up. That sounded terrible. I thought very well of him for putting the video up.
I was going to say, yes. You gave him your highest estimation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was with two other coworkers at the time, so I could not sing his praises enough to these coworkers.
Ah.
And then it was really awkward because he came in like 10 minutes after we had already ordered, and I thought he was having like a to-go meal. Mm-hmm. And then he... So I didn't... You know, this is just another example of why I don't have any friends.
Of why it could be better.
Yeah. Is I forget to go, like, to say things like, hey, why don't you join us for dinner? And instead he's sitting at an adjacent table by himself whilst I'm eating with my coworkers.
One step at a time, man.
I'm working on this.
Maybe he needed his space.
That's true.
Nobody knows. Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, that happened. We had 200 episodes, and that is all put up and posted, so check it out. And that's the last we'll talk about episode 200 for a long time.
Probably.
Not. Okay, maybe. Next week. You know, we had a live show.
We had this live show. I'm still reeling from the live show.
Right. Well, I was going to talk about yelling at brunch-going auto drivers. Do you want to talk about your back first?
Yeah, I'll talk about my back.
What happened to your back, Aaron?
Well, I may not have one for a while. I'll come right out with the diagnosis: ruptured disc. Which, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with the spine, you have vertebrae, and in between vertebrae are these discs of cartilage mm-hmm. that the vertebrae are supported on.
So it's like a sack of something soft that your vertebrae sit on.
Basically, I mean. It's not that soft, but mm-hmm. softer than bone anyways.
Right. But it can
rupture.
And
made to be flexible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what fills your joints, mm-hmm. you know, able to, like, you know, move your elbow mm-hmm. smoothly. So bone is not grinding on bone. So anyways, yeah, somewhere in the lumbar region, one of my discs has ruptured and apparently leaking spinal fluid. I didn't realize this either.
Well, where's it leaking to? I mean, like, is that a problem?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just leaking.
Okay.
My body absorbs it. It's not like, you know, it's not like this hose that's just squirting out or anything, but it was something that the doctor said is like, yeah, well, you should really pay attention to your temperature. If you start getting a fever, come in, call us right away, because mm-hmm. That means, you know, you're getting an infection from, like, where the spinal fluid is leaking out.
So right now, Aaron, do you have a fever?
No.
Okay, good. I'm going to check again.
Yeah. Let's check. It's like every hour I, like, stick a thermometer in my mouth.
Right.
I just got scratched by a neighborhood cat, and I was like, oh, that's no thing. And then I look on the internet, and it's like, you could either die or you could, you know, be... You're really sick for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. My.
Or nothing.
Or nothing.
So, Tom, are
you
sick?
Or you could get a parasite.
No, I think I'm fine.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Okay. No parasites. You're not sick.
I'm out of the danger zone.
And you're not dead, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Wait, how big of a scratch was this?
It was tiny.
Okay. Okay. So, it's like, it's kind of like the lockjaw thing. Like, you're not going to get it just from touching a nail.
Yeah, but it could be rabies. Or it could be like whatever.
Right. I had a friend who got bitten by a bat.
Yow.
And it turned out, well, there was this
I shouldn't laugh.
It was
he got injured by a wild animal.
It was
hilarious. A rabies scare.
there was this radio lab show where they talked about a guy getting bitten by a bat and actually, like, kind of
contracting
frothing
rabies
at the mouth and and how, like, people just don't recover from that. It's bad thing.
99.9% fatal.
So this happened to my friend, and he was okay. It must not have been rabies. Or unless it was. I forget the story now. Anyways, and then I found
$5. I found $5.
Fascinating,
I think,
right?
If you catch it early enough, like, you know, if you do the series of 7 shots to the abdomen,
And I think that must have been what they did with him.
So are you going to tell us how the...
I work in an adult foster care home. Adult care home, I guess, is the more... accepted nomenclature.
You care for adults.
I care for adults, and one of our adults doesn't walk. He uses a wheelchair, and it was, you know, I generally pride myself as the guy. I'm the guy who can do the transfers well, and I have the perfect posture.
Yeah,
like I'm not generally like self. I don't know. I don't really talk about myself too much, but when it comes to wheelchair transfers, it's a really weird thing to be proud of. But honestly, that was one source of pride for me.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
Yeah. I was, and it was one of those weird things where the floor was just wet at just the wrong spot, and he slipped, and you know, I held on to him. It was,
yeah,
it was the closest I ever been to dropping a person.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
Well, no, but because I was like so determined to not drop him and to recover from this, I really just screwed up my back.
Yeah. You're still the champ.
I could have been somebody. I could have been somebody. Could have been a contender.
You could have gone to state on the football team.
That's right.
No. Coach.
But yeah, so I've got an appointment with the spinal clinic.
Okay.
Who's the words MRI and X-ray have been thrown around a lot these days.
And that's no fun. Yeah. I mean,
so they're going to look at my spine and tell me, you know, what I can or cannot do.
Sure.
The doctor who initially saw me, since it was a referral, she didn't neglect, but purposefully didn't write down any like kind of prognosis. She didn't say like, you know, no wheelchair transfers or no this or that.
So just kind of carry on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, just take it easy and then see what they say.
Okay.
Honestly, biking is the one thing that it really works.
Yeah, and you mentioned this to me that you're not, it doesn't feel like it's not torturous to be on your bike.
No, except when I tried to go up Mount Tabor.
Okay.
I won't do that.
So avoid Tabor for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to try to avoid some steep hills.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, I hope you get better soon.
Thank you.
This is, it's kind of freaky.
Oh, here's another thing as a result
of
this.
Wait, before that, do you have a fever?
No.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
As a result of this, so I'm on like some pretty strong ibuprofen.
Oh, yeah. How's
and
that treating you?
I hate it.
Okay. I couldn't tell.
I hate it.
I couldn't tell at all.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make me loopy or anything, but it wrecks my stomach, for one. And so, like, I have to eat every time I take one, and I have to eat a lot or else I'll, you know, get really sick. And then it also makes me drowsy.
Oh.
Fair warning. Wow. I might actually doze off during this interview.
Just curl up right over here.
I went last night to the Hollywood Theater to go watch The Zero Theorem.
Oh, yeah.
It's Terry Gilliam's new joint. Really awesome. Up until the last 15 minutes, and not that it was bad in those last 15 minutes. I just have no recollection. I fell asleep and woke up, and then the credits were rolling.
I was going to say that it went really like way downhill after the last 15 minutes. All fell apart.
I'm going to imagine that it did, just so that I don't regret falling asleep.
This is your critical interpretation of the film.
So this is going to cost you a lot in theater tickets.
Yeah, I'm not going to the theater till I'm off these pills.
Okay. Well, that seems like a good idea. Well, before we get to Tom, I just need to share that...
Yeah, you yelled at somebody, huh?
Not angrily, but...
Oh, okay.
I
friendly.
Think,
yell.
Informative yelling.
I think we may have talked about this before. You talked about this with Jonathan when Jonathan Maas came in last time he was here about there's that restaurant Toast out in Southeast Portland.
Oh, you're right near there now.
I am. And actually, it's funny. I've been using Foster for my commute, which is a diagonal, which means it's shorter. And there's going to be bike lanes there someday, so I like riding there.
You're
now.
You're like getting everyone prepared.
Anticipating.
There's going to be more of me, guys, just to let you know.
to get people used to the idea of seeing bicycles on Foster.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm like, you know, what are the 6% that are, you know, fearless or whatever?
1%.
1%? Okay. So I'm one of the fearless guys that's just like, you know, like my chain rings, I'm out in front of you. So I am doing that, and I haven't been past Toast. But when we were staying with Maria, she lives out along kind of that area. And so I was, I think two different weekends we were riding through there. And the first time I was alone, and there was these new bike lanes. Well, it used to be parking, and now they're bike lanes. They're not very well signed. And so people, I suppose, rightfully are confused. But I feel like somebody has to tell people that, you know, doubtlessly are brunching at Toast, and I'm sure it's a fine restaurant. I've never eaten there. I'm not a big brunch fan, which is probably why. But I just got this kind of crazy idea of why don't I go and just talk to all these people? I'll address them at once because, you know, about once a year I get into this mood where I'm like, I have to talk to a big group of people about something. So...
And then you became a podcaster.
Right, and then that urge went down significantly. But it came back up because I'm like, oh, all these people, they're parking here, and they're probably not doing it because they're like, you know, well, screw the bike lane. They probably just don't know. And it's a wide enough bike lane that it looks like it could be a parking area.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people are here, and I'm riding, and then I think this other person was close and was probably also similarly miffed about the presence of these cars in this brand new bike lane. So I stop and I make an announcement to the outside group of people at Toast, you know, because it's like a sunny August brunch day. And I don't know, Saturday or Sunday morning, I just said to them, you know, hey, everybody, if you can hear me, this over here is a bike lane. And those cars are parked in it. If that's yours, you might want to move it because you could be ticketed or towed. And then I went inside and said the same thing.
Yeah, you're looking out for that.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I tried to do it not like, you know, not like angrily, although I think I was using my assertive voice. So.
But there's a difference between assertive and anger.
It's true. I think there might have been
authoritative
like,
and authoritarian.
Yeah,
this fine line.
There is. Yeah, true. And you want to be on the right side of that line because nobody likes the authoritarian. I think there was, you know, like if you're discerning between tones, I think there was like a little bit of like frustration in my voice that first time. And I think I tried to tamp it down the second time just to make it like purely informational. Again, you know, like taking a chance to talk to the people on the porch outside and then stepping inside the restaurant doors and just being like, everybody in the restaurant, that's a bike lane. So apparently Adele went past there the other day when she was bicycling somewhere and she noticed on the door that basically what I said verbatim has been printed.
No shit.
Writ large onto printer paper.
You should go back in there and be like, those are my words. Trademark. You guys owe me a tenth of what you made from this point on.
Exactly. Yeah. The increase of business because people are no longer being towed. Right. Maybe I should just get my picture taken next to the sign.
There you go.
Yeah. But I was proud of that because, you know, I think I was the person that brought that to the attention of the management, staff, and customers of Toast. So, maybe not. Maybe
I
it was
think
just
this,
maybe
I
it was
think
a coincidence.
This points out like a kind of underlying thing in Portland culture, and that is
that's not underlying, man. It's right on the surface.
It's right there.
Passive aggression.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Where something kind of irks us, but we just sort of take it and we grumble about it.
Right, right.
You know, in our head. And
I'd rather grumble
and then it
at
becomes
the
a thing like, oh, don't bike by Toast because they're parking in the parking or in the bike lanes.
Oh, then you have like a wasteland.
All those Toast a-holes. Yeah, Toast a-holes.
Brunch wasteland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brunch wasteland a-holes. Yeah. And it becomes like this thing in the collective consciousness. And so, you know, rather than sort of feeding into that, you decided to kind of do something about that.
Well, yeah, direct messaging is, I think, it's what people need.
Portland, this could be the dawning of a new era for us.
The age of Aquarius. That's right.
The moon is in the second house.
Yeah. I like the idea that this might happen more often, and not just with bikey things, not just with bike lanes or whatever. Just like, you know, don't be mean. Don't be an asshole about it. Just say like, hey, this happened.
And you,
that
like
was not
you,
optimal.
You appealed to like their sense of, I don't know, safety or even economy
or fear.
Yeah. Well, I don't
like
know.
Your car pocket might be towed.
Yeah. Pocketbook.
Yeah. I mean, you made it appeal to them in some way.
Right.
By saying like, this affects you. Like I could sit here.
You will have more sex if you do not park here.
Yes.
Yeah, that's statistically correct.
Statistically speaking.
If not, at least probable.
You are more likely to have sex by not parking here.
Well, nobody likes somebody with an empty checkbook.
See?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So anyways, that happened. So Tom McTighe, thank you for joining us. Welcome
to
the Sprocket Podcast.
Great to be here.
So you're
high above the city.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, towering over everyone on the 30th floor of Big Pink. We're not. But we are at least what we're above river level.
Okay.
At least a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you could like coast down to the river from here.
Right.
But that's beside the point. You are the guy from Puddle Cycle.
Yes.
And do you do other bikey things here in town?
I follow along behind other people.
Okay.
But yeah, Puddle Cycle is kind of the limit, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's enough. It's a big project.
Bike Loud. I'm interested in them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk to them, but I haven't met them yet.
All right. We should have them on sometime.
Yeah, I met a couple of the guys.
We have to turn down the gain, though.
Ted Bueller
is
actually part of Bike Loud PDX.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
He's part of most things.
He's part of a lot of things. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Tom, how long have you been in Portland?
12 years,
okay,
roughly.
Yeah, so you and I are about the same Portland age,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
More or less. Yeah. And did you begin bicycling as soon as you moved to town, or did you pick that up later?
Yeah, it was pretty shortly after, I believe. I was biking in Santa Fe a little bit when I lived there, but not much before that.
Okay. What was Santa Fe like for biking?
It's like a lot of highways through town, okay. And you know, buses are only for derelicts in the public's kind of opinion and stuff.
Okay, not so, officially.
Yeah, nice people, lovely folks. Like the town is great. It's you know a great town, but it's not very bike friendly.
Right, and not so much rain, right?
Not a lot of rain, a lot of blue sky.
Okay.
Oppressively beautiful. I had to get out of there.
Oppressively beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So you're the guy from Puddle Cycle.
Right,
so, yeah,
right.
You couldn't be in
it was,
Santa
yeah,
Fe.
Yeah. It was like, you know, God's thumb on your forehead every day.
There we go.
Nobody likes that.
Just reaching down out of the sky with a bright beam of light. No good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how old is Puddle Cycle?
Last year, I pretty much started it, and okay. Yeah, I just started hearing more people kind of, you know, I grew up in Minnesota, and I would hear people, you know, Portland's got a lot of people who like to be outside and so on, but more and more people just seem to be like, oh, it's raining today, it's kind of a bad day, maybe we'll get good weather next week or later on Thursday or something, you know, and I started being like, you can't. I just felt sad that like people were like hating half of their lives, you know, like it's like at least half of the year here.
Right.
You know, so I, you know, just thought it'd be good if more people could get outside and have fun.
So something must be done.
Yeah. And then not like I'm the only person leading rides in the winter. There's plenty of stuff going on.
Oh, sure. But yeah. I would say you're one of the more notable ones because everything else is either like a big racing event, like cyclocross happens in the fall.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. But as far as like something that you don't have to pay a lot of money to be in part of, something that happens in town.
Yeah.
And something that's not competitive.
There are a couple of bike shops that have year-round rides, I believe. But yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. What were the things that you did last year? One of them is Crank's Game, and we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you did as Puddle Cycle?
So the first ride was we went to a pool. We jumped in the cold water. It's kind of a way to embrace winter. We did stuff like we pedaled up Mount Tabor and ate a baked potato and, you know, did as many push-ups as we could do. Stuff like that.
That's pretty awesome.
Things along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea being basically like you don't care if it's wet.
It's better if it's wet.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you don't get too much chance for adventure. And then especially if you're in the city limits, you know, so the wet is good. When had the icy snowstorm last year.
Oh, yeah.
And we ended up, four of us went out and I got some studded tires at the last minute. And we just had my bike wouldn't stand up without them. But a guy, Eric, put zip ties around his tires.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
like
about this.
Impromptu kind of studded tires.
Okay.
And yeah, the four of us just ripped it up. It was one of the, you know, some of the best times I've ever had on a bike in those 2 days when it was snowing.
So. Yeah. Our friend Phil B up in Alaska, he's very familiar with riding in the snow. We don't get that chance very often. We get it like once every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So you and I, the times that we've been here in town, that's happened like,
right,
only three times.
Something like,
yeah.
But yeah, good times. And I think a lot of, we do get lulled. I mean, you can kind of get away three quarters of the year in just like a hoodie in Portland. And like, so when it is actually cold, maybe people do tend to like, oh, this is the time when I, you know, listen to Elliot Smith and like write poetry and, you know, in the cafe or something like that.
Right.
I don't ride my bike around.
It's a good town for that. I mean, like there's a lot of places to do it if you want to.
Yeah.
Many places Elliot Smith will be on the speakers. You don't have to bring your own.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think those 4 months, there's some sweet riding to be had if you, if you get the right, you know, get the right gear on or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
So you mentioned some of this as part of your natural disposition. You enjoy the rain.
Yeah.
Did you have any personal humps to get over to get into the rain? Like, did you have to get over the fact that it was wet or that you got colder than you would otherwise? Or
I think it was more of like, you know, just being inappropriately dressed. You know, like a teenager will go outside and in a jean jacket and, you know what I mean, to kind of play cool for a while, but like come home with pneumonia.
Exactly.
So like sometimes if you don't have the right stuff in your bag or a change of clothes, then you have like a hard day, you know, like,
okay,
if you make a few stops and get soaked twice, you know, then maybe you're not so happy at the end of the day. But
and you're wearing a hoodie now, so this is something that's a fashion choice as well as a functional element.
Yeah, it's pretty functional. You know, it covers a lot of bases.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's got the hood built in.
Yeah, Yeah.
And and there's a drawstring.
Right. You know. So if you need to take a nap, you can just,
there you go.
It's like a tiny, you know.
Oh, dude.
Your,
I totally forgot about that.
Mummy bag. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you stuff the hood with something else, like if you have another shirt or something, you can make like a little de facto pillow, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Which I don't know if I've ever done that. I like the idea.
Yeah.
This sounds really familiar. Have we covered this once before?
Oh, maybe.
Somebody doing this on an airplane as like.
Maybe.
Or maybe, I don't know. I'm on mids.
Okay. No, it's a good idea. Well, Aaron, you're more of a hoodie guy than I am.
I am.
I haven't
Although
owned
I haven't had a hoodie I haven't worn a hoodie in a long time.
Okay. Because I haven't owned a hoodie for at least 5 years.
Yeah, I'm kind of past the age where I should probably be wearing a hoodie, but if I feel like I'm in Portland, no one's really looking at my fashion anyway.
So. I was going to say maybe
hoodie,
like,
you know, whatever.
As you grow older, maybe that's something you need to help you retain a sense of vitality in youth. Like you say, hey, I can still hang with the kids.
I'm still hip.
I got this hoodie.
I got a hoodie. Yeah.
No, I think that's all right.
Well, you're very generous.
Well, what else do you use when you're in the wet? Like, I'm assuming at some point you're going to want a rain jacket. But
yeah, I end up like I'm wearing jeans tonight, but I rarely wear jeans. I think I wear mostly like, you know, polyester pants, suit pants and stuff like that.
There
and
we go.
Like, you know, some kind of like long johns and so on, kind of like quick drying layers and maybe just have stuff that folds down easily, like in back, you know, in the bag. Kind
yeah.
Of.
So something that happens. Oh yeah, go for it.
What's it called? Balaclava.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
a balaclava is like that's my almost unknown. If you just had that on,
like a face like wrap,
just that. You know, you'd be.
That's what I mean.
80%
part of
covered,
this function right,
right
here. Of why I wear the cafe.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron's putting the cafe over his nose there.
That's it's fashionable just, though. Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's fashionable, but. It really it
has many functions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was originally because it was a very functional piece of cloth.
See, this right is the on. Best thing about clothing is that it has both fashion and function.
Right on.
And everyone has their own varying ratio as to which, you know, some people are terribly fashionable and not very so functional. Some people are very fashionable and functional, and some people have no fashion at all.
Right.
So I'll let you decide what I am. On your own. I like to think that I'm more functional.
Yeah.
But then I'm also scared of the rain. And I mean, I grew up in the Northwest, so this is, it's not like, I don't know that it happens. I'm not taken off guard by it.
No, I think there's probably early childhood experiences where like you have a ball outside or you have, maybe you get, you're sad. Maybe somebody, you know.
like at one time I stood outside in the rain.
The first time mom ever yelled at me was to get out of the rain.
There we go.
From that point on.
We can dig deep.
But now, you know, we're adults. We can, you know, reclaim
the
outdoors.
Take back the rain, folks.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so I'm curious just because, like, one thing I've noticed is that sometimes the more you try to protect yourself from the rain, the more you sweat.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a zero sum at some point. How do you...
That jacket right there.
Oh, yeah? So Aaron is pointing to his own jacket.
Too thick for the rain, yes.
Oh, okay.
I see a product endorsement. Not an endorsement.
I mean, I love the jacket.
Yeah.
It's great for colder weather.
Yeah.
But for a day
even
like today...
Even the really light shell I just got the other day, if it's above, I don't know what, 50, and you're doing 13 miles an hour, it's too hot.
Right. Yeah.
So I think people, I mean, don't get pneumonia, but also... That's true. Like the, you know, don't put on too many clothes.
So what's your, do you have a golden ratio of some kind for that?
I think it varies, you know, things fluctuate so much here temperature wise and precipitation during the day. It's hard to, you know, you think it's hour
layers,
by hour.
Baby. Yeah. Layers.
Layers and stuff you can easily take off.
Okay.
Some people just have like a wool suit and that kind of just works maybe for them all day long.
Yeah. I remember, do you know Sheila Moon, the clothing company?
No.
They make amazing tailored suits for bicyclists.
Oh,
and I
really?
Believe that they have, they had like this green plaid one that I saw at River City Cycles like 7 years ago. And I was like, someday I'm buying that and wearing it. Because it's like a jacket and knickers, you know. And relatively stout wool, I think.
Yeah.
But really classy.
Right on.
I guess the problem with that is that, you know, eventually that would also get sweaty and you'd have to like dry clean it or something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, like I find that it's really hard to judge sometimes like what clothes I need.
The
layering is good.
Right.
Do you have any sort of like emergency recovery strategy if you get stuck in your own sweat? Like do you have a way to dry your things out or?
Yeah, well, let's see. I kind of tend to stay away from cotton.
Okay.
So in general.
Which seems like a good idea.
In the summer, it's great. But yeah, maybe not so much in the winter. You know, I don't know. If you have a credit card on you, you can just go into the Goodwill and just buy
That's
other right. clothes for in a pinch. Right. I don't know.
Find new merino on the shelf. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
So you say you steer clear of cotton. Does that mean like you're more like on the polyfiber side of things?
Or? Yeah. Yeah. I have the vegan tendency not to buy wool, or I would probably endorse wool because it just seems like the,
right.
the smart garment, the smart kind of thing. So I don't know. Honestly, if like petroleum products are better for the world, so I haven't really, I haven't talked to my rabbi about it, but I'm gonna. So no, I don't know.
You find some way to.
It's just my way right now. So I can't. Yeah. I don't have a giant amount of like logic to back it up.
It's cool.
Just like, that's where I'm at.
Well, maybe one thing is that a lot of the poly stuff you can get is used. Like if you find stuff at Goodwill, it's fairly easy to find polyester.
Yeah,
there.
As opposed to merino, which you have to get new. Like you can't find used merino. Once you do, it's probably not worth wearing.
Right.
Nobody wants my used merino. No, I've got like the smart wool shirt that I got two Christmases ago, I think.
Yeah.
Like I remember I actually tore an enormous hole in the back of it because it was so lightweight. Like the first summer I think that I had it.
Oh, damn.
It also bleached out in the sun like crazy.
Okay.
So it was a black shirt and now it's like super brown and tan on the back and super black on the front. So it's kind of I guess a gradient or something. It could be fashionable someday with the holes and everything. But yeah, a lot of the merino stuff falls apart. What I did get, and I'm not being paid to say this or anything, but I did order another
pair. Take a drink, Krista.
That's right. Did order another pair of darn tough socks.
There it is. 'Cause
those are the ones that are they're like a wool poly blend or whatever, but they have a lifetime guarantee. This doesn't address the vegan problem with wool. And there was one of our friends, Jeremy, from Critical Transit, he's back in Boston now. He was mentioning something about how he doesn't really like the wool thing either, and I had never considered that, but apparently, shearing can be kind of brutal for the sheep. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
What do you know about it? Is it
no, I don't know a ton about shearing sheep actually, and but yeah, I just figure like if I can do it without bugging that four-legged thing over there, then I'll just try to do it that way and not bother them. That's kind of just my guiding principle. It might be a little too black and white, but that's kind of where I'm at.
But it doesn't seem that black and white to me. I mean, like you said, it's a guiding principle.
Right. Well, and everybody has their own set of principles that they choose to live by. And that's really, I think, the thing we espouse. I wouldn't say that you and I, Aaron, necessarily care too much about
sheep.
What someone does. Oh. We don't care about sheep at all. No, but we don't care necessarily like what the basics that people come up with are, as long as they take time to figure them out.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to just kind of stumble through life buying wool at random, you know, from convenience stores or whatever,
or even Shepherds. Or even polypropylene.
Right. My biggest downfall is the buying of snack foods when I don't really want them, and just like, well, I'll eat that instead of like actual healthy food or vegetables or something. But yeah, it's like everybody has their own thing that they're trying to change, the way they're trying to make the world better. And I think that at least as important as what you come up with as your own personal code is the fact that you take time to think it through.
Yeah.
So, and that's sorely lacking. So,
well, and it adds to the discussion, the worldwide discussion of discussions.
Yes.
Within the human spectrum.
The meta discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we can have a differing of opinion on like wool versus poly and be able to like talk about it and like learn from each other, and it makes life interesting. You know, it's when I think people are maybe a bit too dogmatic about these things.
All right, dogma.
That
is a terrible movie.
Things become problematic.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
Actually, no, I've never seen it.
Oh.
I don't know.
You should watch it.
I just said that before I thought about it.
Oh.
Excuse me. I was being dogmatic about the movie.
Oh, look at that. Look at what just happened. Point proven.
So speaking of animals and things, Cranksgiving.
Yeah.
Connected to the holiday Thanksgiving. upon yes. which many turkeys become unhappy.
Yes.
This has less to do with the turkeys, I suppose, but this is an event that
it does have to do with happiness.
It does, yeah. And I was able to take part in this last year. Actually, Team Sincerity of a form participated in Cranksgiving last year.
At least in name.
Yeah.
Oh, that means I need to make patches for Russ and Laura.
There. Yeah, well, I'm sure we could roll them in.
Yeah.
I have to ask them if they want to be Mormon elders or not. But tell us about Cranksgiving.
Yeah, so Cranksgiving is the things that started in New York City many years ago. I'm probably not going to be good with the details, but several years ago, and has spread to many cities. I think last year there were more than 36 roughly, many cities. St. Louis, I heard, got out 800 people last year.
That's intense.
St. Louis.
That's pretty great.
St. Louis, okay. Portland, Louis.
So anyway, and Portland, somebody actually got something together 4 or 5 years ago that was started a People's Co-op and went to the 3 co-ops, and then they had to like come back to People's.
Okay.
Somebody was like, hey, we did this before. And I was like, cool. So last year wasn't the first year or anything, but last year's the first year kind of I got involved. And
it's a new dynasty.
Yeah. And so we had the Velo Cult, and we brought out 100 people, or 100 people brought themselves out, more likely.
There we go.
Really, it's the community. Let me tell you, it was an amazing community thing. You know, a lot of people like promoted every time you like, you know, share the Facebook event or so on. You get to claim a little stake in the in the event, right?
There you go.
Seriously,
it's your ownership.
Like I don't know 10, you know, 12 people in town, so it's good.
Well, you just met us. Now you know 14.
Now I know 14, yeah. But still, it's like, you know, it's kind of each person bringing out 3 or 4 people, 10 people, so on.
Right.
So yeah, it's a treasure hunt food drive, and it benefits Outside In, and they serve like a homeless youth and provide medical services. And they've been doing that for about 40 years in Portland.
They're a great organization. Wow. They do good work, and they do it kind of indiscriminately. Like a lot of people will withhold services until they give you their message, or until that you you come around to their point of view or something. And Outside In is doing all this charity work just because they say people should have better lives. So I respect that very much. I'm glad that they do.
Yeah. Good deal for sure.
Yeah. And I think undergarments were the things that it was a clothing item we were summoned to get last year for Cranksgiving.
And
so
they specifically said no whitey tighties this year.
Oh yeah?
Oh. Boxers only.
Oh, I wonder, I can't remember what I got. I think I got boxers. I forget. Okay. We went to Fred Meyer for hours. But clothing acquisition. That was one. And, you know, for anybody who doesn't have a solid income or a place to live, finding new, very personal, like socks and underwear, the things that are right next to you, those are very hard to find.
Right on. Yeah. So, yeah, it was amazing to see kind of that big pile of you know, supplies and stuff on the stage at the end of that event. And
it was an enormous pile. We should find we'll find that picture of that pile and put it up on this post.
Yeah it was good to see.
So and that's happening this year. It's the 22nd.
Saturday, November 22nd at 1 p.m at Velo Cult.
Is the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Right on. Yeah,
so
Saturday before.
Before American Thanksgiving. If you're in Canada, it's way after, I guess.
yeah
Are there other countries with Thanksgivings? There might be. I mean, it's kind of a North American thing, I think, but...
Well, man, it really begs to question, like, you know, what is Thanksgiving? What is the meaning? I mean, if...
I think you got some like nice piano music playing behind you.
I think it's got to be sort of a Western Hemisphere thing.
I would think so.
At least.
It's a New World holiday.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyways, Cranksgiving is happening all over North America.
this
coming and in some parts of Eastern Europe.
Yeah, very possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah, the parent website for the New York event is just cranksgiving.org, right?
Right, yeah.
And then this year's event can be found at puddlecycle.org?
Yes, it's puddlecycle.com/cranksgiving.
Okay.
And we are definitely trying to whoop Seattle again this year.
Yeah.
Last year,
they deserve it.
We came a little short last year, but we're competing over a top banana trophy that I really want to have in my hot hands, and they have it right now. We need it.
Is this a golden banana?
Go get it for me. It's a top banana, and it says top banana on it.
That's
and there's a, it's like a banana guy, like banana.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. Well, I could see why you would want that. We got to do everything we can.
I want you to have this now. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
A second banana will not do.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is exciting. So I'm glad this is happening.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting it together.
Yeah. Bring out a sprocket podcast team.
A contingent.
A team or three teams.
It will
teams.
Happen.
Okay,
it
good.
I think there will be multiple Sprocket podcast teams.
Are we seeing a schism right now?
No, not a schism. It's just that there can only be so many people on a team, right?
That's
There's
true.
A limit of five, I think.
Yeah, two to five.
Yeah, and Team Sincerity is already five strong at
it
this point.
It is.
Unless someone can't make it, then I suppose we could call for submissions. But yes, I'm saying
maybe we'll
is
have to have tryouts now.
There are other people listening to this show that can also do could do this, and they could put together their own teams. So
yeah.
And what, a team of two is probably slightly more agile than a team of five.
I'd like to see Team Swing or Team Grill by Bike.
Ooh,
come out
yes.
for the event. That would
Ride
be
on fire.
Right on.
Team Ride on Fire.
That'd
yes.
be pretty awesome. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you wanted to touch on before
that's
move
about
on?
All I got.
All right. Well, again, it is Tom McTy and
PuddleCycle.com/Cranksgiving.
Yes.
Yep.
Or just PuddleCycle.com.
.com.
Yeah. And
While we're talking, just real quick, like, do you have any other Cranksgiving? I'm sure is taking up a lot of your energy
right now.
But is there anything on the dockets
for
as well,
other
like future
rides.
Casting, yeah.
Yeah, so I've kind of put in a bunch of placeholders, and then I'm talking to people about, you know, having them lead rides, like partner up with them. So there's a solar system ride that was really cool over Petapalooza, so they're hopefully going to do that again. Steph might be doing a ride. I'm talking
Steph.
To some of her, some other people. Maybe there could be a podcast ride. Or, you
a
know,
Sprocket podcast
I'm
ride.
I'm open.
Yeah.
So get a hold of me if you're out there in listener land and you have a cool ride you want to do this winter. I'd love to team up with you.
Yeah. Can they find your contact info at PuddleCycle.com?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, excellent.
I think you can't really step outside without seeing it. I'm kind of plastering. I'm taping things onto other things like at a rapid pace. So.
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent. Well, that's canvassing. It's covering all your bases.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Aaron, there's a thing we should do. And you know what that thing is?
Find my iPod.
Yeah, that. And watch that ruptured disc, by the way.
Yeah. Have you noticed, like, I'm sitting really crooked?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah. There's the reason. So, mail. New Patreon donors.
Yeah.
Patreon. Jim, Doug, and Todd, thank you so much, guys.
Indeed. Thanks very much, everyone. Yeah. And by the way, for Patreon donors, anyone who signs up on Patreon to get a couple of bucks into our hands, because you'll enjoy the show. I think our entry level is $2 per person, and that gets you your name listed at the end of the show and an envelope full of stickers and a little handwritten note from one of us.
Most likely Brock.
Possibly, yeah. I counted them up, and I think I did like 18 envelopes
or
something.
Yeah, I liked your
yesterday.
Posting on
This
Twitter.
Is what happens, Larry. This is what happens when you put off mailing things for a month.
You just had a pile of all these letters.
A pile of mail, yeah. The first picture I took had like somebody's address on it, and I realized I needed to cover it up with a coaster. But yes, anyways, so if you sign up to help us out, you know, we are at, what, like $72, I think, or something like that per month.
Wow.
All of our donors, we really appreciate
that.
Thank
you so much, guys.
In the neighborhood of $125 is what it takes us, I think, to cover all of our expenses. So if you guys can help us get there, we can do this for free.
I appreciate your transparency. That's...
Well, hell, I mean, you know, it's somebody has to say it, and I guess it has to be me.
It has to be you because I don't know these numbers.
Right, because I
just found this out right now.
I've been writing the checks. No, it's just, we appreciate everyone who's pitched in so far. It's really great, and I love to see the sense of community, and at the base of what we do.
And
this,
ownership.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, this is just as much your podcast as ours now.
Right, right. I mean, like, if you didn't listen, we wouldn't be here. So we appreciate that very much.
And if we weren't here, then you wouldn't be listening.
It's kind of a catch-22.
Yes.
I'm on pills.
So good.
All right. Next, Tim Mooney adds a few details on shipping your bike by boat and Amtrak Express. I took the Victoria Clipper on my recent tour, and they took Sequoia, my full-size touring bike, for $15 one way from Seattle to Victoria. The downside is they hang the bike off the side.
Freaky.
Of the ship as you cross. Oh, God. Yeah.
Wow.
Super freaky.
Oh. Yeah, that would be like the most tense cross scene.
Especially if your bike has a name, that would probably be anxiety causing.
Oh, man. Tim, I'm tense for you right now. So the likelihood of getting some salt water on your gears is high. I found them to be totally fine from a customer service standpoint. I think the best is, sadly, always be prepared for a-holes when traveling by bike. Shocked they charge $50 for folding bikes. What? Yeah, not cool.
Not cool.
Just to put them on the boat, huh?
Yeah. So I like the idea of taking this boat, but I don't necessarily like the idea of, forking over all that cash and then getting treated, basically like you didn't
class.
Pay.
Yeah. Cost was not a major issue for my choice. More convenience.
This is for shipping his bike, I think.
Yes. Pricing would have been roughly the same between Amtrak and United, but I had a 6 a.m. flight and San Diego's airport, and my circumstances forced me to have a final leg to the terminal on one of those shuttles, not built for big non-wheeled things like, say, bikes in boxes. Rolling right into the Amtrak station was substantially easier. Brock, you're right. Pricing is based on distance. Added insurance was a couple of dollars, five maybe. So well worth it.
Works out okay in the end, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, Milestone Rides.
Milestone Rides. I think that's Johnny.
Is this a tweet to us?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm hoping to go zoo bombing at least once in my life. Heard about it on the Sprocket podcast.
That's right.
Yay. Next, James sends us a picture of his mailbox, which is a bike.
Next to his mailbox, I think he said that the project he's working on, it looks like a tandem, but the picture's kind of dark. I think he took the picture at night. So, James, you might have to send us some clarification on this. It looks like an awesome project. I can't tell if it's supposed to be a long tail or a tandem or what, but I like what I'm seeing. So good on you. James also sent us a suggestion for a guest, which I think it turns out we're actually talking to a friend of the person he suggested, but we're going to get someone to talk about bike polo. I think that's next week.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Next up, Todd the truck driver. You're either a hunter or a... Oh, yeah. This was like a really long email he sent us.
Oh, yeah. No, this is just a segment.
Oh, yeah.
And I was also thinking we need like a... Like, like a truck
anytime he writes
in.
Exactly. Put that in. So... Just to give a little bit of context, he kind of gave us some philosophy, some life philosophy that I think really...
It was good stuff.
Yeah, kind of applies to us. And so he's wrapping it up with, you're either a hunter or a farmer. The ones that love or yearn for the open road are hunters, and those that love to stay put are the farmers.
So archetypes.
Yeah, speaking on archetypes.
Yeah.
Freight, by the way.
Yeah, sounds like a freighter.
Brock, you and Aaron are both hunters. Aaron's love of riding around the city is part of that feeling to get out and hunt. Satisfying the feeling makes you happy. The saddest people are the ones who are stuck in the wrong position. I see farmers driving trucks all the time, and they are the most miserable people you will ever meet. And wow. I've worked with hunters stuck in an office job, and they are just as miserable. Simplifying your life should include recognizing your nature and living it. It helps you to be happier and better.
I love this. Yeah. I actually shared this with somebody, just kind of it popped out of my head because that's pretty good thought. Like, and it's easy for me as someone who loves the hunt to go out and, find things and see new things. Like I like going places. And so to meet someone who really likes to dwell and stay in one place is weird to me. And I want to say, oh, this person is wrong because they like, why don't they want to go travel? But there's nothing wrong with wanting to stay put if that's, kind of how you're built.
Right.
You're put together. And if you go against your type, like he says, danger.
You will be miserable.
Yeah. And nobody likes that.
No. Next up, the stick man.
The stick man.
Tweets to us, this is called me taking the space back from automobiles.
He's got a picture of, I'm assuming, where he lives, an apartment complex, and his auto space has been converted into there's a bike rack there.
Yeah.
He's got several bicycles all locked up to it. And I've always wanted to know if I could do that. Like, I actually never tried this, but, whenever I lived in a place that had designated parking, take yours, put a planter box into it or something. I'm sure it depends on your landlord, but it sounds like the stick man was able to make this work. So, hurrah.
Yay. Lastly, Dan from Minnesota, who also had a mohawk for a while.
That's right, or as you call it, an Eero.
An Eero.
And did we explain that already?
I don't know if I ever did.
It hasn't been explained to me.
And so I keep going back to mohawk just so that I don't have to explain Eero, yeah. Which defeats the purpose of me calling it
Sorry,
an Eero.
Sorry, I brought it up.
No, it's fine. So mohawk is a misnomer. It wasn't originally the Mohican Indians that used that hairstyle. It was the Iroquois. So, some people have taken to calling it an Eero.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. By some people, do you just mean you, or do you mean, like, do other people do this?
I'm hoping somewhere someone else has thought of this.
I like this idea.
Oh, wait, so the person's from Minnesota, and this show is... It breaches the Portland bubble.
Yeah,
oh,
weird.
Yeah,
right?
It's strange.
Strange, yeah.
Strangely enough, it does.
And Dan is one of our long-term listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
been with us for a long time.
He has a podcast of his own.
He had a blog. I'm not sure what he's up to. Dan, tell us what you're up to these days. We'll promote it.
What are you up to, Dan?
Yeah.
Anyways, great show, episode 200. I'm bicycle camping, drinking a beer, listening to episode 200 again. And I can't remember what the again is about. Camping again, or is he drinking a beer again, or is he listening to episode 200 again?
I think all three, but especially episode 200. Yeah. And actually just got something in today. I think Johnny K also said that he's watched the live video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the one that Aaron Parecki put together, which he did a fantastic
job. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah.
It was damn good, if I may just interject.
Oh,
I was
did you
there.
See the video?
I was sitting out. No.
Oh, okay.
I saw it live.
Okay. I don't need to.
You saw the video yourself.
It was good.
Oh, good.
I looked to my right. You know, people were smiling back at me. You know?
Excellent.
So, yeah, good job, guys.
I'm glad to hear that it worked out that way. Yeah. Johnny K just said, I think he's watched it like twice and he's going to watch it three times or something like that. So, good for him. That's awesome. And, up in Yegg, up in Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the Kubishes want to have another party.
an actual watching party.
A party in which you can actually hear the sound as you watch the video.
I'll send you guys some popcorn or something.
Right, exactly. We got to figure out how to get food across national boundaries anyways.
Can I mail popcorn to Canada?
We'll find out. All right.
I'll just give it a try. They'll just send it back if it...
Yeah, exactly. What's the worst that could happen?
Return to sender. This is popcorn.
Or we find out that Aaron was trying to smuggle food across the border. He gets thrown into prison for about 5 or 10 years.
See you all at Gitmo.
That's probably it. Yeah.
All right. Oh, we got headlines.
Yeah. Why don't we do one of them? Let's do the happy one.
Do the happy headline, and I got to bring that back
up. What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
We'll just mention maybe the first headline was that there's in Jessamine County, Kentucky, there was a cyclist who was arrested for bicycling dangerously after she had been prohibited from driving her car. It's an interesting read, but we'll just put the link up and let you guys read that and draw your own conclusions. We'd love to hear your comments if you have them.
Yeah.
But the happy story.
From Philly.com. Biking and bonding.
Oh, I forgot who sent these in. Thanks to the people who sent these articles in. I forgot to put their names on the notes.
The monthly Critical Mass Philadelphia bike ride is one of a new generation of monthly bike rides that don't require speed or endurance and are not about shock value or aggressive advocacy. I feel a little like some of that being pointed at me.
Are you into shock value and aggressive advocacy?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. The preferred place is described as conversational at events. Oh, pace. Sorry. It's described as conversational at events like Philly Bike Party, which meanders around the city with a sound system in tow, stopping for party games and dance sessions. The Full Moon Bike Ride, which sends cyclists howling through the city late at night.
Which sounds awesome.
And Take Your Time Bicycle Rides, which offer a low-key introduction to navigating city streets. As the city's bike culture has grown, bicycle commuting has increased 260% since 2005. Ooh. According to a recent Bicycle Coalition report, more niche rides have popped up.
This sounds awesome. This makes Philly apparently a very great place to ride a bike.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the Walk Bike Summit just happened in either Philly or Pittsburgh, and I don't remember which. Might have been Pittsburgh this year. But
really?
But Pennsylvania's coming up. So next time I'm there, I got to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I would imagine I can see Philly really coming up on their own, because Pittsburgh, when I lived there, there wasn't a street that didn't have either a sharp turn or a hill or both.
Okay. Yeah, and you lived in Pittsburgh, not Philly, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should. I've been dreaming about all these different Sprocket podcast trips we have to take. Like, Adele and I were talking about definitely going down to California, which, again, apologies, Tom. Like, it's not that I hate the rain, but California doesn't have rain. And in spring, when I have a week off of work, it's nice to go somewhere.
Yeah. You know, the people in California are like, it's not that we hate the sun.
Exactly.
We just need some rain down here.
We just need some water. Yeah. Right. So, I don't know. We've been talking about going down again. And, Aaron, you and I need to talk about that later on.
Oh, shit. All right.
But then I was like, oh, dude, what if we didn't stop there? What if we also went other places where we have listeners? Yeah, exactly. We just like travel around the country or something.
I smell a Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, hey, there we go. Sounds good.
Well, also, I'll make you potato salad.
Sounds like a plan. It's worked before. There's a thing.
Is that an inside joke about the potato salad?
No.
Was I supposed to get that?
There was a guy who basically just wanted to make potato salad for himself, and so he started a Kickstarter because he needed like $10 to buy the ingredients.
He made like a lot of money.
Yeah, and it's been disputed whether or not he's being as charitable as he's put his face forward on. Like he says, what is it? He's running a charity-minded event. It's like potato salad stock
I don't know.
It's some event.
I obviously didn't bother to really look in the details.
Yeah.
I just think it's hilarious that someone gave a kid thousands of dollars to make potato salad.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, and the one thing we have never done yet is to record...
Make potato salad.
Well, yes. We're going to do a show about potato salad because this now needs to be done. This is a thing we have to do.
Live from Brock's kitchen.
That's right. Yeah. It'd be the second time we've had a cooking show on the Sprocket podcast.
That's right.
The first one was with
Anna Bronis.
Yeah. From
Next time she's in town, we'll have her make potato salad.
There we go. Sounds like a plan.
Oh, God.
But no, we've never done a show on a train. And it's about time for
and
that.
And we've been on a train a few times.
And we've never done a show while we're camping. I feel
and
like
we've been camping more than a few
these
times.
These are things we need to do. So we'll put all this together someday.
And you know, here I've been thinking since episode 200, it would all just be coasting.
Right. Well, like, we'll coast downhill to the train station, and then we'll coast into California on the train, and then we'll coast all the way, you know, south from there to wherever we go.
All right.
It'll be easy.
It'll be easy.
Yeah.
Sounds like good times on the horizon.
Yeah. I also just finished the sequel to Cannery Row by John Steinbeck.
Oh, that's why you're thinking about California.
I am. I'm thinking a lot about California because, you know, Monterey and everything. That's the best thing that ever came out of California was Steinbeck and his works. Yeah. So good, man. So good. Sweet Thursday. You should read Cannery Row first. But once you've read that, Sweet Thursday is a fantastic book. So, yeah. And this has been Literary Corner.
with
Brock. Yeah.
Are there any bikes in the book?
You know, there are not.
Trains?
But it's a simpler time. So I think
simpler than this time?
Maybe that's why I connect with it, yeah.
Okay.
The idea of like a bunch of bums that live in the Palace Flophouse and, you know, they get in fights and scrapes and steal frogs and stuff. That's a good idea.
Stealing frogs.
Aaron? Stealing frogs, man.
Do you agree?
I don't know. I've never stolen a frog, but I guess he makes it sound so appealing now.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go steal a frog now.
It's not a very vegan concept, that's for sure.
No, I suppose I don't know. I mean, are they eating the frogs?
No, I think they were killing them and using them for medical research.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely not
right.
Vegan.
But that's on Ed Ricketts. Inspiration for the character of Doc.
I see.
I've been doing my research.
Wow.
Tom, do you have any authors you like?
Wow. We, Gee, off the top of my head, I'm actually reading a bunch of novels because I hadn't been reading any fiction. Oh, so I went online and I was just like, "Fine, what are the 100 best books?" And there's like a million lists like that.
So you're reading 50 Shades of Grey right now?
No, no contemporary. I just read Orwell's Grey. You can't really go wrong.
Down and Out in London and Paris.
Yes, love that.
I just picked that up.
Dishwashing Handbook. Yeah, that is a really good book. If we want to talk about one book, that's a good book to get. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Orwell?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta look this up because I remember reading, I read 84 on, I read 1984 on the bike trip in, I think it was in Glacier National Park, and I read it almost all in one day.
Yeah, not uplifting.
No, but so inspirational.
Yeah.
Although I did hear someone say that he wasn't very good at writing a female character. I don't know. Mm. I'm on the fence.
He's a guy.
He's a product of his time.
He's a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. Let us know how that goes, all that novel reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Are we ready to close this out?
Sure.
All right. We should remind people one more time. PuddleCycle.com.
You got it.
.com.
Yeah.
Just like it sounds. All right. And Aaron, I'm going to give you a running start on these credits because there's a lot of them.
And we're not going to race this time.
No, because thanks to our donors, we are able to make this show happen. We appreciate all of you, and that's why we're going to get to your names.
I promise you.
Yes.
I'll do this.
Yes.
It's not a race.
It is not. It's a flight to the finish, but it's not a race.
All right.
All right.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback via email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call or text to us. Text to 503-847-9774. Twitter to @sprocketpodcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headline sounder, and thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Ooh. Katharina Mellengard, Roger Grigsby, yeah. Wayne Norman, yeah. Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lane,
yeah.
Richard Wisinski, Tim Mooney, That's Orange right. and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller, and Todd Parker. I really took my time there.
Oh, yeah, brush your teeth and go to bed. All right. You know, maybe I should set up Steph's recorder just, like, for fun.
I would get
just
behind
in case.
That.
You know?
I would get behind that mule.
Yeah. In that case, we're
your bags are over there.
So all right, then. You sense that I don't care.
I'm glad, yeah.
Oh, you do have, like, my injury in the show notes.
I do.
All right. I've got lots to say about it.
Okay.
I'll do my best not to be bitter.
The physical injury? Or?
Yeah. No, I can't get into the mental injuries.
Okay.
This will not be an hour show then.
Okay. I think now we're ready. Sorry about the delay.
I'm feeling good.
Thank you for your forbearance. A Sprocket Studios production.